we heed a certain call when the world must come together as one?
There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all.
We can go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change.
We all are part of God's great big family,
and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
All right, everybody. Yes, we are the world. Our show is called Let's Create a Better World. I'm Bobby Elias, your host. Our co-host, Divine, will not be with us today, but I will carry the show with a great, great guest, Ellie Lax, to talk about her story of an animal sanctuary that's the best in the world. Also about the answers to some solutions for the world problems and change. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Next week, Veronica, Gabrielle will also talk about change, but more in the spiritual sense. Now, there are three things that we talk about on this show. One is body, mind, spirit, aging, all found by holistic health. Then we also, on this show, talk about GMOs, wireless radiation, climate change, and major problems with the administration and what's going on in the world. But we also emphasize the positive and solutions. Then finally, we're doing a thing called change. We've been doing this for the past 4, 5, 6 weeks with our other guest, Veronica, who'll be on next week. And today, with Ellie Lax, we're going to talk about change. Ellie Lax is very, well, I'll introduce her in a second, but let me just a couple more things. For those of you that want to hear our show on the archives, usually it's a day or two after the show. It's also on the telephone archives, 24 hours a day. Take this number down. You can also hear it online to Progressive Radio Network. But here is the telephone archives, 701-719-0994. Okay, one more problem we've been having in Hollywood, where I'm in the L.A. area and near Hollywood. There are four gentlemen that are in the news more and more and more. We've heard about Harvey Weinstein. Numerous women are charging him. He's made a huge amount of payoffs to shut them up. Another person, Bill O'Reilly's done the same thing. Lots of women, lots of payoffs. Bill Cosby, been going to court. And another one that's come out in the attention of all of us is Roger Ailes. And we've got more and more and more people that are in the Hollywood industry. In fact, Hollywood is making a change. Women are stepping up, thank God, to speak out against it more and more. And major, major Hollywood companies are doing some positive things, if not words, at least some action. So that's good. All right. Let's get to our guest. Ellie Lax runs the General Barn with animals that no one else wants. Now she's got, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 animals. And she also has opened up two more, one in Tennessee, one in Missouri. We're going to talk about that. And her story, though, is really, really great. A story about how she got started at 7 years old with a dream of taking care of animals. And we're going to get into that story briefly. But most of the show is going to be about, I'm going to point out a lot of the wrongs that are going on in society and what's been going on bad. And Bailey and I are going to talk about how we feel this can change, what we can do to make it change, and some positive things for the word change and major, major steps that organizations, people around the world are going to be taking. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen overnight. But we are very confident that there will be change. All right, Ellie, are you there?
Bobby, I'm here.
Good. Okay, well, thank you for coming on, and we love you. And let's start with your story about your dream when you were 7 years old and how that turned into a place called the Gentle Barn, and then we'll take it from there.
Sure. Well, when I was a kid, I was obsessed with animals, always. I always loved animals. I wanted to play with them. I wanted to be with them. I wanted to be out in nature every spare moment that I had. And what was really clear to me as a child is how other people around me did not feel the same way about animals that I did. My brothers, my family, my community, my friends at school, they saw animals as things that we eat, things we wear, things we throw away when we don't want them anymore, but they did not see them as the angels, teachers, and healers that I saw them as. And so it made me feel very lonely because I was so sure that I was seeing greatness and beauty and angels and the divine in these animals. And kind of everyone else didn't, and so they would tease me and make fun of me for it, and that would make me feel even more lonely. And the more lonely I felt, the more I turned to animals. I would wander the lakes and the forests by my houses when I was a kid. And by the time I was seven, my little plan was to have a house full of animals that I saved, and they would be my friends. You know, if I ran across turtles with broken shells or birds that fell out of their nests, the older I got, the more I realized that sometimes animals need our help. And so by the time I was seven, I just wanted to have a house full of animals that I saved, and they would be my friends. And, of course, my parents didn't want a house full of animals, so they would get rid of them when I was at school, and I'd come home to find them gone, and it was so painful. I would say, how can you do this to me? And they'd say, Ellie, when you grow up, you can have as many animals as you want. And I would scream back at them at the age of seven, you'll see, when I grow up, I'll have a huge place full of animals, and I'll show the world how beautiful they are. And so this concept that I was going to help the world see animals the way that I see them was something that I insisted on doing when I grew up. The problem was that the older I got, the more I realized that I don't have money, and I don't have land, and I don't know about farm animals. And so I didn't really know how to do my dream, even though I was so certain that I would do it. And I would think about it before going to sleep at night, and I would think about all the animals I would get to love. And I would sit in class, and I would doodle what the Gentle Barn would look like. So I was convinced I was going to do it. I just didn't know how. So I waited for a really long time, not knowing what the first move would be. And then a little over 18 years ago, I discovered a petting zoo I'd never seen before in the San Fernando Valley here in California, in Los Angeles. And I parked the car and went in because I was just very nosy as to what they were doing with so many animals. And the sight there was horrific. There were animals in cages that were dead. They were beating the ponies to keep going in circles, carrying children without water breaks. There were animals with overgrown hooves and deformed legs, and it was just the most horrific thing I've ever seen. And so running for the door as fast as I could to get out of there, the exit was blocked by a very, very old goat that looked like she was about to drop dead any second. And she looked me right in the eye, and she asked me for help. She said, please help me. Please get me out of here. And so she stopped me in my tracks, because when someone asks me for help, I don't turn my back on them. So I reasoned, well, I mean, I live in a little house with a half-acre backyard. I guess I could bring home a goat. So I went to find the owner of the petting zoo and asked if I can have her, and she said no. And I said, well, can I buy her? And she said no. And I said, listen, I told the goat I was going to help her, so I'm going to stay here till you say yes. And I stayed there for 12 days. And on the 13th day, the lady came and found me and said, lady, get the goat and get the heck out of here. And so I brought Mary the goat home, and I called a mobile vet from the Yellow Pages, and he came out and he removed her tumors, and he trimmed her overgrown nails, and he showed me how to feed her and care for her, and I learned how to massage her deformed legs so she could walk. And a few months later, she was bouncing around my backyard as happy as can be, and it was the greatest feeling I've ever had. I felt like I was finally on track with my purpose, and I was finally acting for who I was designed to be. And it was the most wonderful feeling ever. And so in the meantime, I had been calling authorities on that place to see if they can make conditions better. there. And they all said the same thing. You know, Humane Society, Animal Reg, SPCA, they all said, yeah, we know about that place. There's nothing we can do. And so I was tormented by all the horror and the abuse and the neglect that I had seen that day. And so I decided if they're not going to help, then I have to do more. So I went back to the petting zoo. And you can imagine the owner's face when she saw me coming. She was not happy. And I said, listen, I know that you have other animals that are suffering. No questions asked. I will take them off your hands. And she kind of rolled her eyes and said, yeah, fine, sure, wait right here. And she went in the back and she started dragging animals out of the back. Broken bones, pneumonia, scared to death and dying. And I brought them all home. There was a little miniature horse. There were pigs. There were chickens. There was a goose. Goats and sheep, and I took them all home, and the mobile vet taught me how to care for them and heal them. And then a few months later, I was waking up in the morning and looking out my little window that looked out to my half-acre backyard that was now at this point full of animals, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Holy cow, I just started my dream. So that's how the Gentle Barn started, in a little half-acre backyard, just simply because I wasn't willing to watch animals suffer at this petting zoo. And we lasted there for 4 years until we were bursting at the seams, because as soon as I started the Gentle Barn, people heard about me and started giving me other animals that had nowhere else to go. And then 4 years later, we moved to the Santa Clarita Valley, where we have much more room. And we've been able to rescue many more animals, and we've been in existence now for 18 years. And 3 years ago, we started a Gentle Barn in Tennessee, and this summer, we started a Gentle Barn in St. Louis, Missouri.
And you're going to get more, too, right?
Yes, my goal is to have a Gentle Barn in every state so that everyone can hug cows, give pigs tummy rubs, cuddle turkeys, look in the eyes of these animals, and know for certain that we're all the same, we just look different. And maybe then we'll have a more gentle world.
And, you know, Ellie, what I'm going to bring up now is one of the answers to why we need to do something to turn people from hate and anger to love. You have children coming there from inner city schools to visit. And tell us a couple stories briefly about how the children who are usually live in real bad neighborhoods and sometimes come from one parent families, there's not a lot of love and happiness and goodness there. And they meet these animals and a lot of good things happen. Tell us a couple things on that, please.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I felt very lonely, and animals healed me, and they saved my life many, many times. They were the only ones to look me in the eyes and make me feel lovable and wanted. So I always had this concept that I wanted to bring other people that were hurting or lonely or struggling in their lives to come and get unconditional love and hope and inspiration from these animals. So the minute I started the Gentle Barn, I started calling at-risk facilities, foster homes, probation camps, drug and alcohol rehab centers, inner city schools, and inviting them to come out and bring their kids. And I mean, the stories that have come out of that have been amazing. I have a lot of stories. I think one of my favorites is a story about this boy who, he came out from a foster home, and he was extremely angry. And they didn't even want to bring him out that day. They said, you know, we'll bring the whole class except for this one particular boy because he's so angry and so disruptive. And I told them that he's actually the only kid that I insist on bringing. You know, if he's not responding to traditional therapy, if he's so angry, if he's so disruptive, that means he needs us more than anyone else. So I said, please bring him. So they did. And I could tell who this kid was a mile away because he came off the school bus angry. He kicked at the dirt angrily. He wouldn't look at anybody. I mean, he was obviously in a lot of pain. And he wouldn't sit down with the other children to start our group and to hear what I had to say. He kind of hung in the background, insisting not to join us. So I told my stories very loudly so he could hear. And the story that I chose was a story of one of our horses, Bonsai. So Bonsai is a miniature horse, and this is the story that I told the children. I said Bonsai was a miniature horse, and he was owned by a woman who was an alcoholic. So when she was sober, everything was fine, but when she was drunk, she would go out and punch this little horse in the face. By the time this little horse was 6 years old, he decided that it was absolutely not safe to trust humans. And he was absolutely terrified of people. And nobody could touch him. Nobody could get near him. finally, this woman was brought sent to jail for animal cruelty charges, and he was brought to a horse rescue where he ran feral and wild with the other unhealed horses. But because he was young and he was so adorable, the agency really wanted to see him healed, and so they asked us to take him, and we brought him home to our gentle barn. And it took us 2.5 years to be able to touch him. We would pet the other horses, we would feed the other horses, we would groom the other horses, and he would watch with a very suspicious eye. But he never let us touch him or near him for 2.5 years. And the struggle inside of him, because he would see the other horses getting attention and love, and he would obviously realize that they were safe and being handled nicely, but he just couldn't bring himself to trust a human. And so you could literally see the struggle inside of himself, wanting to trust, wanting to take my carrot, wanting to accept my back scratch, and then saying, it's not safe, it's not safe, it's not safe. And then finally, after 2.5 years, he finally let us pet him and feed him and hug him and hold him. And he ended up with a beautiful life where he has a family and a home, and he's seen and heard and loved and respected. As soon as I was done telling this story, this boy ran up to me. He pulled on my shirt and said, tell me that again, tell me that again. So I told him the entire story all over again. And then he said, again, again. I ended up telling him this story like 5 times. And then he went to my husband, who was co-hosting the group with me, and had my husband tell him the story over and over and over again. And then as soon as we had both told the story a number of times, this boy ran over to Bonsai, the horse, flung his arms around his neck, and whispered in his ear, you'll be okay, you'll be all right, it'll be okay, I'm right here, you'll be okay. And so I turned to look at the counselors, and their jaws were open wide. So I went over to them and I said, hey, what happened here just now? And they said, well, you just told Bonsai's story, right? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, you just told that boy's story as well. That boy had been raised by a stepfather that was an alcoholic. And whenever he was drunk, he would come and beat up his mom and the boy. And finally, at the age of 6, the boy was taken out of the home. And he's now in a foster home. And he's extremely angry. And he acts out. And he feels like he's alone. And nobody knows him or sees him. And he wants to trust the people around him, but he can't bring himself to do it. So
the interaction, go ahead.
Well, we just started the year program with this boy, and by the end of the program, he was off medication. He was not disruptive in school. He made friends. He started getting good grades, and he found his way to a good life and to forgiveness and to joy because of a horse that shared his story.
Wow. For our listeners, this is Ellie Lax speaking, who runs the Gentle Barn. There are 3 Gentle Barns around the country and growing. More and more animal sanctuaries that take animals that no one else wants. And you just heard a story of love, of therapy, of children, of animals, and how. And a couple more questions, but just also, I want to ask you first about last year. You invited me to I went to a Christmas party you had in South Central among very poor Black and Latino kids, and they all got presents. And they all had a vegetarian or vegan meal. It was wonderful. Are you going to do that again this year? You've been doing this for 2 years, right? Tell us about that.
Oh, we've actually been doing that for 5 years. And yes, we absolutely are going to do it again this year. It started with a group of at-risk kids from the projects in Watts. So, I mean, these kids were exposed to gangs and drugs. Their family members were in jail. Their families were broken and torn apart. They lived with violence every day of their lives. And the Los Angeles Police Department started bringing some of those kids to the Gentle Barn for our program. And when the kids come out to us, we start each group asking them what is the word that describes who they are and what is their dream, because we want to constantly be cultivating self-awareness and hope for the future. And we end each group at the wishing well, where the kids get to make wishes. And on this particular group, 5 years ago, there was this little boy who had a horrible life. He had never met his father because he was in jail. His mother abandoned him. He was being raised by his grandmother. There were gangs all around him. I mean, he had a really, really tough start in life, and he was very angry for some really good reasons. And we went to the wishing well, and all the kids closed their eyes and put their hands on the magic wishing well rocks and were making wishes, except for this one boy who looked up at me and said, wishes don't come true. And I explained to him that, well, they do, because my wish was to have a gentle barn at the age of 7. And look, my wish came true. And I said, listen, wishes might not come true immediately, but if you never give up on them, you can have the life you deserve and you can have your dreams come true. But he just looked so sad, like he just was not convinced, because his life at the age of 9 had been so disappointing and so full of suffering that he couldn't even imagine any dreams come true. And so I remember coming into the house later that day after the group had left and telling my husband, Jay, what he had said and how dreams don't come true. And I said, we have got to do something for these kids. What can we do? Well, a few weeks later, we got a call from a warehouse near us that had 250 toys forgotten at their warehouse. And he asked us if we wanted them because he knew we worked with kids. And so me and Jay looked at each other and we immediately said in unison, oh my God, we have to bring these toys out to those kids. And so we called up the police officer that had brought the kids to us and asked him if we showed up the day before Christmas, would he escort us around the town and we could pass out these presents? And, you know, remember, these kids live in the projects. They have nothing. They don't have Christmas over there. They're not even wearing shoes that fit them. They don't even have jackets in the winter. They don't have the things that they don't have the luxuries that we take for granted. And so the police officer was delighted and said, yes, absolutely. And we met him down there and we spent an entire day going from neighborhood to neighborhood, knocking on the doors, handing out these gifts. And at almost one of the last houses, it was a duplex. And I think word was spreading through the neighborhood that we were there and what we were doing. And so when we approached the duplex, these kids came tumbling down the stairs, got their presents. They giggled and laughed and smiled and then ran all the way up the stairs to show their mom. Well, a few minutes later, the mom came out the front door of the upstairs duplex. And what I noticed immediately was that she had, she was an amputee, but her prosthesis was kind of like a homemade deal. So it almost looked like the bottom of a broomstick kind of tied to her leg. It was like this very crude, rudimentary, homemade prosthesis that she was wearing. And the stairs up to her duplex was extremely rickety. They were wooden stairs and they're very steep and not very stable. And she started coming down the stairs. So I immediately was like, no, don't come down the stairs. I'm going to come up to you. And she held her hand up to me with so much pride. And she said, no, I'm coming down to you. And we kind of held our breaths as she made her way down these stairs. But she was so full of gratitude that her kids had simple little Christmas presents that she was unable to give to them, that she made the trip down the stairs just to thank us. And she came up to me and she gave me a hug. And you know how you hug somebody and you kind of like hug for a minute and then you let go? Well, I hugged her and then I let go and she held on to me for dear life. And so I embraced her again. And we stood there for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes embracing. And in that hug, I could feel her shame of all the things that she couldn't give her children. I could feel her struggle of being a single mother and only wanting the best for her kids but failing. I could feel how hard she works just to put food on the table. I could feel her whole life and all her struggles in that hug. And by the time she let go, we were both crying. And she made her way up the stairs, and Jay and I made our way back to the car. And I looked at Jay with tears streaming down my face, and I said, Jay, we have to do this every single year. And so we have. Since that day, we've gone to South Central Los Angeles every single year, and we hand out gifts to these families. And it, you know, so the first time was just driving around the neighborhood with 250 toys. The second time, we found a spot in the middle of the projects, and everybody came to us, and we handed out toys from the back of our pickup truck. The third and fourth year, the third year they closed down the street in front of the police department and everybody come to us. And we not only gave out presents, but we served food and gave out, shoes. And then the fourth year, across the street from the police department was a fire department and we ended up hosting it in the enormous courtyard in the middle of the fire station and everybody came to us. And then the fifth year, if I'm not mistaken, this is either our fifth or sixth year, but last year we gave out 1,500 presents and we gave out shoes and socks and backpacks and books and toys and blankets and clothes for the older teenagers. And we gave out to 1,500 children. And we're doing it again this year. And our goal every single year is to double the amount of people that we can give gifts to. And this year, not only do we want to give stuff out for the kids, but we really want to give stuff out for the adults. So we're trying to find companies who will partner with us that will give us, you know, toasters and blenders and microwaves and things for the adults as well, because their household is so devoid of the very basic things that we take for granted. But one of the most powerful stories that I experienced over the last few years doing this was this one girl was in line to get shoes, and we asked her if we could take her old shoes off to help her try on the new shoes. And she said, no, no, no. And she's very adamant that we didn't do it. And we finally kind of convinced her, like, listen, sit down, let us take your shoes off. And we took her shoes off, and we realized that her shoes were two sizes too small, and her feet were covered in blisters. And so we got the medic over, and we cleaned up her feet, and we applied salve on her feet. And then we got her a brand new pair of shoes and a brand new pair of socks. And, I mean, you would think that we just gave her, I don't know what, like a pony or something. She was beaming, like she had just received the most precious thing in the world. And I couldn't help but think, like, God, like, we usually, you know, people in America, we're so privileged. You know, we have closets full of clothes and shoes, half of which we don't even wear. We have so many. And here's this girl that was wearing shoes two sizes too small, and the greatest gift she could ever hope to get for Christmas was a new pair of shoes. You know, these kids are kind of the invisible. They live in the armpit of the city. They have nothing and no one. And we're sitting here with lavish gifts and so much privilege. And on the holidays, they don't have Christmas at all. And so to me, that's what the holidays are about. It's about giving. It's about caring. It's about loving. It's about making sure that everybody feels special. Right. And so, yes, we're doing it again this year. And Bobby, would love to have you join us if you're around.
I'll be there. In fact, if you want to, I can try to bring one or two volunteers to help out.
That'd be great.
Possible. I'll speak to you about it beforehand, and also speak to you about some more ideas that I have. And I definitely still want to come down there, and it's been difficult. Let our listeners know that this is Ellie Lax we're speaking to on Let's Create a Better World, and we're going to get into change. We're going to get into the problems of the world, the wrongs, and all the bad things, and what we can do about them. We don't have 100% answers, but we have solutions and a lot of positive love that we're going to express, myself and Ellie. It's one of my favorite subjects, and Ellie knows that, and I just love having her on this show. And that was even though you've had that story before, I've had requests to hear that story again from some of our people, and we do have a new time slot now, and we have people that have not heard you or heard the show, so this was good to bring all this beautiful love that you just talked about. And Ellie, I was there. I saw the faces of these children. I saw a few children crying. I saw parents crying. I saw them so, so happy from all the wonderful gifts that you were able to take over there. You were Mrs. Santa Claus and Jay, your husband, also. And you had all kinds of wonderful young volunteers and staff that were there. And everybody with so much love there. It was just so beautiful. But, Ellie, I want to move into another area that we promised our listeners to talk about, and that is all the problems of the world. And then I want to say a few things for a few minutes, and then you can have your take on that. Then let's talk after that. We see what kind of ideas we can have to make it a better world, because that's the name of the show, Let's Create a Better World. And I want our listeners to know that we're talking about change for the last few weeks, and maybe one or two more weeks we'll be talking about it. But our main part of the show here, Let's Create a Better World, is about body, mind, spirit, aging, health, all new research and studies, and new things that are going on. And we also talk about solutions to the world problems, like we're going to do today, and change. So we have a lot going on here. So let me see here. I have a list of things that I want to talk to you about. You find my list here, therapy. Yeah, I think all that... We all need therapy. There's so many people that need. I do a lot of work out there in communities with people that need food, need a shelter, need help. But a lot of people are mental poor people. We're talking about homeless, and a lot of people are homeless. In Los Angeles County, we have more homeless people than anywhere in the country. And they're really bad off. We've got veterans. 30 to 40% of all the homeless people are veterans. That's a shame. They don't get good attention from, you know, there's so many problems, Kelly, but let me get to give you a chance to say something. But I just want to say that a few things about what's going on in the world here. All of these you mentioned about poor kids, this is not just in South Central L.A., but many parts of this country where there's homeless, hungry, kids without shoes, kids without a lot of things. And it's really bad. Latino community, a black community, and other communities, poor people. And there's things going on around the world. There are black people around the world. In Guatemala, people live in cardboard shacks. In Africa, they live out in the jungle, and they drink water that is polluted. That's really, really bad. And it's really bad all over the world. And every morning I wake up, Ellie, and I say to myself, I'm just grateful that I have a place to sleep, have a little food, have a few essentials that many people in this world don't have, but wish they could have. And I don't look at what I don't have. I look at what I do have, because many people don't have these things. But anyway, there's drones going on in the world. There's people being bombed. There's people in countries where women are being, in the Middle East, women are just now in one country have a chance to drive. They have to wear certain things. If they do something wrong, they get tortured, killed, beheaded. Yes, it's terrible. If you're gay, you get beheaded. It's really bad in all these countries. There's so many things going on wrong. And then more things that are going on, and then I'll let you say something. It's the president has caused many problems in this country, and we're predicting that he's going to either get impeached before his 4 years are up, or if he does last 4 years, he will not make it to the next 4 years. Someone else will be the president. There's so many wrongs going on with that. Social Security, poor people, people of color. And women are being are raising up in Hollywood and all over because of all these horrible sex offenders, like the ones I mentioned at the beginning. Okay, so anyway, I mentioned all these things. Before we say the answer, you and I both have a similar answer to what we can do. Tell me your take on some of the things that I said and why it's wrong, and maybe a few things about what we can do about it.
I think over the last few hundred years in this world, I think that we have let big business lead the way. Yes. We used to have peace on this planet. It also used to be a matriarchal society. And I think over the last several hundred years, we have switched from a matriarchal society to a patriarchal society. And I think the emphasis has been on conquering and making more money and being a superpower and leading the world into big business. And I think at first it was very, very exciting, you know, the Industrial Revolution, and we created machines and airplanes and guns, and we were the superpower, and it was very thrilling and very exciting. But I think what we've all kind of failed to realize as we've led big business into the future is, along with conquering and being the supreme power and big business, along with that comes destruction and the loss of family values and the loss of love and the loss of reverence and the loss of kindness and the loss of living on this planet along with every other species. And so big business has led the way in the food industry and in every industry where the dollar has been the absolute prime importance and everything else mattered less. And so, you know, the food industry has become more cruel, and the pharmaceutical company has become more cruel, and everything has become more cruel, more dominating, more exploitative, so that more money is to be made. And what that kind of resulted in was 0.1% of the population earning all the wealth, the rest of us following along with it and kind of doing as we were told. You know, we have been eating what we've been told, and we've been buying what we've been told, and we just kind of follow along. But I think now, many hundreds of years later, we kind of find ourselves in a bind, because that same big business that have led us into being a superpower has ended up cutting down the rainforests and creating so much suffering for animals and exploitation and creating illness in our bodies. And now we're we're at a crossroads where we either keep doing what we're doing and the cruelty, the suffering, the pain, the dominance, the exploitation will continue and will end up pretty much wiping us out, or we can wake up and realize that big business and supreme power is not the lead ethic that we should be following. We should bring back family values. We should bring back love and compassion. We should lift each other up instead of squashing each other to get to the top. We should be creating communities instead of a few superpowers. We should be creating leaderships in our children instead of teaching our children to sit down and follow along. We should open the cages and leave the forests alone and learn to love animals and learn to eat out of the garden. And we can heal all of this in one foul swoop. We can heal our bodies. We can heal our communities. We can create love and compassion among ourselves. And we can heal this planet. But we can only do it when we wake up and take a stand for gentleness.
Everything you say, Ellie, and that's really well said, is something that we, not maybe not every single thing you said, but most of the things you say, we do from time to time say on this show, and we're very strong advocates for world peace. In fact, there's a group in Washington, D.C. that is now coming up with it, and they've got 130 countries around the world that are backing it up, and 50 countries are going to sign up a new thing. I think the name is ICAN, ICANW, and .org, where you go to that website, and there's a group of people and that are want to stop the wars. That's one of the main things that they want to have: more peace, more treaties, less guns, less bombs, more people to sign the treaties that we're not going to do nuclear bombs and wars and killing. So that's a big step. This is what we call change, and we see that coming. But there's other things here. So when we've been talking the last few weeks about change, and it's happening there. Women's movement is getting real strong. I mentioned all the abusers that are, and the women are standing up like never before in Hollywood and other places. People are coming out and saying that they were abused by a man. And look at all the athletes and the politicians that have done this, from President Clinton to Kobe Bryant to Arnold Schwarzenegger to the two men that are running for governor in California. Both have a history. And Senator Edwards, on and on and on. I can name many, many more. And this is terrible how men have treated women. It's even worse in the Middle East. Oh, my God. So I want change. You want change. We want change. And it's not going to be easy to get. But now let's get into love, because that's what you and I, let me give you my quick take on that. And I want you, you have a beautiful take on, but it's not going to be easy to get to teach everybody love. But love is one of the, to us, the most crucial thing that's missing in this world. There's not enough love. That's why I wanted you to talk about animals. All the love that exchanged between animals. I've seen people in homes with people that are old people that are sick. They bring in a dog. All of a sudden, the man has love and companionship and friendship. And that dog will love you and lick you forever, even if you scold him. So we need more love in this world. And it won't be easy, but we're going to talk about that now and in the next few weeks, how we can get more love in this world. Your thoughts on all that?
Well, I mean, to me, it starts at home. We're so busy kind of waiting for someone else to do it, for someone else to fix the problem, for someone else to take the lead. And that's not going to work. It hasn't worked ever. I think the solution happens with every single solitary one of us, and it happens at home. We can't look outside ourselves and say, oh, my God, this is so much violence. Oh, my God, this is so horrible. Oh, my God, this is so much suffering. What are they going to do about it? What we need to do, every single solitary one of us, is say, how can I be more gentle? How can I be more peaceful? How can I change? What can I do? And I think that that is, I think that that is what this time is calling for us to do. I really do. I think that this is an excellent time in our world to do that. I think, you know, with our president and with the way things are going, I think it's time for every single one of us to stop letting them make decisions and for us to stand up and go, well, who am I? And what can I do? And how can I be more peaceful? And how can I be more gentle? And how can I help? And I think when every single one of us makes that pledge in our own lives where we're at, then every single individual is going to take a stand for what we want, for more gentleness, more peace, more kindness, and we're going to lead big business instead of sitting back and letting big business lead us.
And you know, Ellie, a lot of people disagree with what you and I are saying 100%. On radio and off radio, television, and there are people that like what we're saying and they believe that there's a lot to what we're saying, but there are people that are talking about disasters around the world, earthquakes, more hurricanes, more bad weather, more killings, more wars, more nuclear bombs maybe, and it's crazy out there. So it won't be easy to do all this, but and I had one lady that is a medium, makes predictions, and she's really good, two or three weeks ago, that said that she didn't think it was going to happen that quickly. And I finally told her, well, you know, eventually we will have a golden age on this planet, and she agreed to that. And it will. It could take more time than some of us want or think. More thoughts on that issue.
You know, I wonder if we have as much time as we think we do. But I also think that up until now, war makes money and peace does not make money. Illness makes right. money. Health does not make money. And so up until now, our core value has been making money. And it's been leading the decisions. And it's ruined everything. So we need to let go of that value. We need to realize that the state of this planet is more important than making money. And so once we lead with love and not just big business, then we're creating products that are sustaining and eco-friendly, and we're creating products that are cruelty-free and don't hurt animals, and we're creating products that are good for our body and promote health in our body. And like I said, up until now, we have been led by big business, and it's killing all of us. It's only going to happen when we turn around and we dictate to big business what we're willing to buy and what we're not willing to buy. And we're very, very powerful. The individual that makes a decision to eat gently and to purchase gently and to care about the planet and to raise our children to be gentle, we have more power than we think we do. And it's time that we wake up.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's going to take some work, but it can be done. We're speaking to Ellie Lax here on Let's Create a Better World about change, about love, about how we can make some changes in this world. We've only got so many time left, Ellie, but you talked about the money that they're making. They're making money on war. Example, when George Bush was elected, he named 55 people to different positions, from the highest positions to lower ones. Of those 55, 38 of them got into the weapons industry. They bought stock, and they got involved heavily. In other words, their thought was, the more war, the more we can make on weapons, on construction, because big construction wants war. They want war. And whenever they have drones, when they have wars in the Middle East, guess who comes in there? American corporations go in there and offer to help out. Why do they help? They make money by constructing, and they find ways to exploit. It's really, really bad situation all over the world. We've only got a few minutes left, Ellie. Let me see how much time is left. We've got at least 5-6 minutes left. I'd like you to give your contact information, and let's say some people want to go to your place in Missouri or your place in Tennessee, or maybe somebody might even want to start one in. We've got a lot of listeners in the New York area. Let's say somebody wants to start one in the East Coast. Is there a number or a way they can contact you, or a central number or a central way? Speak on that and give the information slowly so we can all take it down the right way. Could you?
Yeah, absolutely. People should go to www.gentlebarn.org. That's gentlebarn.org. And from there, they can find the email address and contact us. We're open in Los Angeles, California, Knoxville, Tennessee, in St. Louis, Missouri. On the weekends, we do private tours. We do groups of school field trips. We do special needs groups. We rescue animals that have nowhere else to go. And people can come out and hug the cows and find peace and love and inspiration in the barnyard.
And when you say Los Angeles, it's in Los Angeles area, but it's actually about 50 miles north of downtown L.A. It's Santa Clarita is where you have that main one that I've been to. It's the first one you started. It's a wonderful place. A lot of love there, a lot of animals. And you have meetings there once in a while. You have people come and donate money to your causes. And you have special events during certain holidays with great vegan food. You're also a vegan, and you, of course, you could, the love you have for animals, you wouldn't dare eat anything from animal meat or anything. A few words on eating the right kind of food, especially not eating meat. A few words on that, please.
Well, again, I mean, we're eating other sentient beings. We're causing them harm. We're causing them to suffer. That is not good for us. That causes heart disease and cancer. It destroys our bodies. It destroys our environment. It destroys the animals. And it's also energetically, I mean, how are you going to energetically feed off of somebody else's suffering and pain in order to live? I mean, energetically, that is not the direction that we want to go. We want to turn to love. We want to awaken to love and gentleness. And so when you adopt a gentle diet and eat of the fruits and vegetables, nuts and grains that the earth gives us, then we're loving animals, we're healing animals, we're saving animals by not eating them, and in turn our bodies thrive, and in turn the environment thrives. So we have to shift our awareness, we have to shift our practices to love and compassion if we want to change the results that we're getting in this world. There's suffering and cruelty and violence, but we're eating suffering, cruelty, and violence in every meal. And so when you change fundamentally from eating peacefully and eating gently and having reverence for others and having compassion for others, then energetically that shifts everything. It shifts everything from our environment to our communities to our families. People are raised with compassionate eating, and then they're not going to act out violently. It just shifts everything in our communities. If we're complaining because our communities and around the world is so violent, then what we can do about it is incorporate gentleness in our homes, in our bodies, and in our families. And that's something that we can do to change the world.
And by eating better, by changing to a less meat diet, that's a step towards love, a step towards making this a better world, because climate change is really affected by all the water being used to take care of those cows, for example. But one more thing about animal cruelty is when you're eating meat, you're eating when that chicken goes down the line. It's a long line where at the end of the line there's a machine that cuts their throat. These animals are going down that line. They know they're about to die. But what happens when they're about to hit that razor? They turn hot, tight, real tight. So you're eating bad karma. You're eating a tight animal. You're eating an animal that was tortured, that was killed in a very ugly way. So that in itself is bad karma. I know you would agree with that, Ellie. Anything else to say for this? Let's give you a 2 or 3 minute last minute words for our listeners. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the famous quote by Gandhi, I believe, or Martin Luther King. They're both my idols, so I can't remember. But they say we have to become the change we want to see in the world. We can't eat animals and eat violence and expect a gentle world. We have to be gentle to have a gentle world. We have to eat gently to have a gentle world. We have to speak gently and think gently and treat others gently. That's how we create a gentle world. It starts with us. It doesn't start with them. It starts with us.
Absolutely. And so everybody needs to take a step, and we're going to continue this thing on change. And I'm going to be in touch with you, Ellie, about going to that Christmas event. And just be in touch with you, period, because you go to a lot of great places. You speak more and more. The last 2 or 3 or 4 years, I've noticed you're getting out there more, and you're being seen, you're being heard more. And I love that. I think that's great. And I think I've seen other sanctuaries, but yours is more peaceful. You help these animals with so much, you have so many different kind of machines and rehab therapies to get these animals. You take a lot of animals that are really hurt. So I commend you for that. I commend you for all your thoughts, for being on this show. Thank you so much, and we'll be in touch with you. And you have a really wonderful day and week. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby, for having me.
You're very, very welcome. All right, listeners, that was really great. It's Ellie Lacks. Don't forget, you can hear this. Tell your friends. You can hear the show we just did right now on the archives. I'm going to give you the archives information, both of them. You can hear them online or on the phone. Get your pencil and pen out. I should say pen and paper out. You want to call the archive. You can call Progressive Radio Network, or you can dial that on your computer, progressiveradionetwork.com. And then you can, or you can go to prn.fm. But the best way online would be going to letscreateabetterworld.podbean, P-O-D. Pod is in Paul Oscar Daniel. Podbean, as in the kind of bean you eat, B-E-A-N.com. That's letscreateabetterworld.podbean.com. Or you can call both, you can book these 24 hours a day. And this show will be on tomorrow or the next day, which will be on my Thursday or Friday, on all the online things that we have. The phone number to call, 701-719-0994. As we're ending the show, I just want to let you know next week we'll have more on change with Veronica Gabriel to talk about the spiritual side of how, what you individually can do with love, with meditation, with silence, with peace, with ways to get your life together. The more each of us live better and get our lives together, and there's more information not only from people like Veronica, and by the way, Ellie's got at least one book out, and I think a second one coming. These people are really into love, into change, into making this a better world. That's the kind of people I have on this show quite a bit. So that's what we need, and more, we need more goodness and more people that are doing all these wonderful things. So there you have it for that. And the show is going to be all about change for the next week or two at least. But we're going to try to insert more and more information. I mentioned all this abuse going on by some of the men. We're going to try to get, I've got two or three women in mind, including Gloria Allred, the great, great attorney that defends women. And we've got some other really big name people. I'm not going to say the names because we have to work on getting them first. But please listen to our show every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. And as I close out, I'm going to thank you and all the people that helped out to put this show together. And you can hear a little longer version of the song we had at the beginning called We Are the World, which we are. So let me say thank you to our guest today, Ellie Lax of the Gentle Barn. I want to thank, even though she wasn't here today, Divine Aubrey, our co-host, who has been working with me all week on different things. We're setting up for more great shows in the future. I want to thank the New York staff, Jesse, the PRN director, the engineer, Kelsey. I want to thank Gary Null for putting the station together. Our producer, Stuart Hassel, the producer of Let's Create a Better World. Our associate producer, Greg. Our other associate producer, Lydia. So thank Ellie. Thank you, the listeners. Most of all, thank you. Yes, sir. We love you. Hear us again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. And now on to our song, and we hope to hear from you again next week. Thank you. But if you just believe, there's no way we can find.